It's a pleasure to see everyone today. We are honored by your presence. Those of you visiting with us, you've made our day. We appreciate you being here. But I got to tell you, it is so good to see Beverly Haney here. This is a celebration. And the family showed up. Y'all took up the whole aisle. That's great. But this is indeed a celebration because Beverly has been there and back. And thank God that you're able to be out today. We are just thrilled to death that you and the whole family are here today, Beverly and Horace and all of you. We just we thank God that you have been able to be here. We also thank God for the progress that Alyssa Sandberg is making, that he is answering our prayers on her behalf, and that she is continuing to improve. And we just pray that these last three rounds of chemo will be the last thing she ever has to do, and that she'll go into complete recovery here. We just pray about that, and we're going to keep on praying. I am so thankful that Jesus died for me. I'm thankful that he blessed me with an opportunity to hear his gospel. And I am forever in his debt for saving me. So I serve him. And I'm going to continue to serve him the rest of my life. Now I'm going to quote, or not quote, but refer to Paul's statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe it is. I'm going to speak like a fool for a few moments. And so I need you to listen to me as though I am a fool speaking. I have preached the gospel for more than 40 years. I've been blessed to preach in one half of the states of this great land, 25 different states that I've been blessed to preach the gospel in, 5 foreign countries. I've made more than 20 trips to India. I've taught and baptized more people than I can count. I've counseled many married couples and even more individuals in everything from personal habits to marriage relationship to finances to spiritual growth. I've given a lot of money through the years to help support widows and orphans and to help a lot of people who were in need. I've given likewise a lot of money through the years to help support mission work and to continue the work of the local congregations where I've served. I have been gone from my family for extended periods of time, many different times through the years. I have taken abuse and undue criticism at the hands of unbelievers and even from my brethren. I have endured many sleepless nights in prayer over many of you who are here today. And in fact, I have done more to serve the Lord than most people I know. I speak as a fool. Now somebody says, why are you telling us all this stuff? Well, from our reading this morning, the servant who works in the field and comes in is to continue to serve his master. He doesn't get to come in and sit down and eat and take his... No, he has to continue to serve his master until his master is satisfied, and then he gets to eat. And the point that Jesus makes is, it is the same with us because all we've done is what God has commanded us to do. We are unprofitable servants. We have simply done our duty. None of us have brought God more glory than we should have. None of us have done enough good works to satisfy what God is expecting of us. In fact, every single one of us, and me at the top of the list, have never lived up to God's expectations. I have never been able to do all that God would have me to do. I have never been able to succeed in all that God would have me succeed in doing. I have never submitted myself to God to the degree that God would have me submit myself to Him. I am an unprofitable servant, as are we all. We're all in the same boat together. And we all have need of His saving grace every single day. And with every good work that we may do, we are still just doing what God has commanded us to do. That's the message from our reading this morning. Now I would like to direct your attention to the next part of this chapter in Luke 17 as Jesus encounters 10 men who were lepers. Now, Jesus is making his way back to Jerusalem. He's left Galilee, up in the north, up there where the Sea of Galilee is, and he travels through Samaria, the land of half-breeds, the land of the people that the Jews considered to be dogs, the land of those that were outcasts, those that were part Jew and part Gentile. So Jesus passes right through Samaria. Now, some Jews were so prejudiced against the Samaritans that they would travel east, cross the Jordan River, travel down through Gentile land, cross the Jordan River west again into Judea to avoid setting foot in Samaria. That's how they hated the Samaritans. But Jesus just went straight through. He just went straight through. So he's on his way back to Jerusalem for the last time. Now, I want you to understand where he is when this event happens. He is in Samaria. These people are rejects and outcasts. And as he's passing through Samaria, he encounters 10 men. So follow along with me in verse 11, beginning of chapter 17 of Luke. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They didn't approach him, they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." John Greenleaf Whittier wrote an amazing poem called "The Eternal Goodness." I've put 20 copies out there on the foyer by the bulletin. First people to get them, they're yours. If you missed out on it, I'll make more. You just got to have to let me know. But I wanted you to have the ability to have a copy of this. It is a beautiful poem. But in one verse in this poem I want to share with you this morning. "Yet in the maddening maze of things and tossed by storm and flood, to one fixed trust my spirit clings. I know that God is good. I know that God is good." Brethren, there are so many things we cannot explain. Why is it that people suffer? Human suffering tops the list of things we cannot explain. Oh, people come up with explanations because of sin, because of choices people make. But that doesn't explain all of it. It just does not. Why is it that some people seem to have everything go their way while others seem to have one tragedy after another? Why is it that some suffer from such a disease as leprosy? Now, I have seen this disease with my own eyes. I have witnessed people who are eaten up to the point that they have no fingers, no thumbs, no toes. Their nose, their ears have just pretty well just disappeared. I've seen people with just two holes in their face and a hole in each side of their head. No skin there. It's gone. It's been eaten up by the leprosy. They have no fingers, no fingernails, nothing. It's just eaten. Their skin is just gone. Their tissue is dissolving. And it is slowly killing them. It is slowly taking their life. Leprosy. It's a terrible disease. Now, it is contagious only if you have long-term exposure to lepers. If you shake a leper's hand, you're not going to get leprosy. Okay? It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. But if you are a doctor who's working in a leper village, a leper colony, you have to take special precautions to avoid contracting this terrible disease. By the way, there is no known cure, even to this day, for leprosy. There are treatments, but there is no known cure. If you get it, you've got it. Now, leprosy in the Bible is described in Leviticus chapter 13. And I'm going to share with you a few verses about this. And then we're going to draw some applications and I'm going to let you go home. And it'll be before dark. In Leviticus 13, 1 through 3. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, when a man has on his skin, on the skin of his body, a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons, the priests. And the priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. This is a big deal. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. Go down to verse 9 through 11 now in the same chapter, Leviticus 13. When the leprous sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the swelling on the skin is white and it has turned the hair white, and there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling, it is an old leprosy on the skin of his body. The priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. Now, verse 45 and 46. This is the clincher. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. So he has to put a veil over his lip, over his mouth, and cry wherever he goes, wherever he encounters a person, unclean, unclean. And he shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. There was no cure for leprosy then. There is no cure for leprosy now. How would you like to have to go through your life and every person you meet, you have to tell them you are unclean? How would you like to do that? Would that be embarrassing, frustrating, humiliating? Of course it would. Of course it would. Well, that's exactly what the lepers had to do. So Jesus encounters 10 men in Samaria as he comes into this village. Sin brings all of us into common ground. Leprosy has been described as a comparison to sin. Leprosy affects the body just like sin affects the soul. There is no human cure for sin. There is nothing you can do to get rid of it. And when you are guilty of sin, you are unclean before God. You are unclean. You cannot come into the presence of God. You are on the outside looking in, outside the camp. outside of God's throne room, and you can't come in. You can't come in if you're guilty of sin. And that is this comparison to leprosy. And so the ungodly, Psalm 1:5, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. There's a separation. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, we've read this passage many times. The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God that he will not hear. Your iniquities have separated you from God. He will not hear our prayers if we are guilty of sin. Something has to be done, but we can't do it. Somebody has to help us because we can't help ourselves. And so when these lepers see Jesus, they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." They could not help themselves. They could not. Only Jesus could help them. And only Jesus can help us. Only Jesus can help us with our sin. He's the only source we've got. The only hope that we've got. Now, I want you to notice, these guys knew this is our last chance. We see Jesus. He's in the Samaria. This is it. Have mercy and help us. When we come to an opportunity to obey God, we better take it. Don't squander it, because you may not ever have another. You may not ever have another opportunity. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. I want you to notice that there's 10 men. One of them is a Samaritan. Jesus calls him a foreigner. By implication, this suggests to us that the nine were Jews, children of Abraham. The nine are not living in Judah. No. They're not in Judea. They're not even in Galilee. They're in a foreign land. They're in Samaria. They're separated from their families, from their life back in among the Jews. They're outcasts. They're cut off. They cannot come into the camp. They're lepers. And so they're living among the foreigners. Huh. But that one Samaritan, he's got a little different heart than they do. Now, I want to talk about Jesus for just a minute. He, as I already said, he's the only one that can save them. He's the only one that can save us. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him." There's nobody that Jesus cannot cleanse. Your spiritual leprosy is so easy for him to cleanse. It's so easy for him to cleanse. There's no sin you committed that cannot be forgiven. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. His is the only name given among men through which salvation can come, according to Acts 4 and verse 12. So if we will come to Jesus, he will cleanse us from our spiritual leprosy. Okay? So I want you to notice what Jesus told them to do. He said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." That's all he told them to do. He didn't promise anything. He just said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Well, they've asked him for help. It's obvious by the fact that they go that they believe he's going to help them. That's obvious. Otherwise, why go? Why not just stay there? It's always easier to do nothing than to do something. Does everybody agree with that? I mean, y'all just sit still. How much work does that take? You're already sitting there. If I told you to stand up and let's all do jumping jacks, I wouldn't do much jumping. I'd just do the arm waving. don't want to break a hole in the stage. But the thing is, guys, it's always easier to do nothing than to do something. And so Jesus tells them, go, show yourselves to the priest. And they went. They went. There's a certain amount of faith there. There's a certain amount of trust in him there. And there's obedience there. These guys go. And as they're going, what happens? Before they get there, what happens? They're healed. The leprosy's gone. Now, with Naaman the leper, you know, he had to dip 7 times in the River Jordan. So he goes down once, twice, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, comes up, still got leprosy, hasn't changed a bit. But when he goes down that 7th time and he comes up, his skin is like a newborn baby. He has no evidence that he's ever had leprosy. No scarring, no deformity, no loss of function, no loss of limb. He has everything restored like a newborn baby. Well, I don't know how Jesus did this. I don't know how it happened, if it was a flash of light or if it was just a slow movement. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The Bible says that as they went, they were healed. That's a beautiful story. Now, as they're going to show themselves to the priests, one of them turns around and comes back and threw himself on his face in front of Jesus and glorified God, thanked Jesus for his healing. Now, it reminds us of the fact that it so often happens that those from whom we expect the least are often the ones from which we receive the most. That happens so many times. So who would have thought that this foreigner would have done this? You would think the Jews would, but no, they did not. They kept on going. But this Gentile, this half-Gentile, this Samaritan dog, this lowlife, this reject from society, comes back and thanks Jesus for saving him. We have so much for which to be thankful. Oh, guys, I hope you didn't rush into the meal. I hope you didn't try to hurry up the prayer. I hope that you did take time to list things for which you were thankful. I know families have traditions. Some families go around the table and they talk about what each individual talks about what they're thankful for before they ever offer the blessing. They go around the table and they talk about it. You know, what are you thankful for? Or they may talk about what they're thankful for in each other. There's so many different things we could do, so many wonderful traditions. But I hope you took time. I hope you didn't rush into that turkey. I hope you took time to thank God for what he's done, because we have so much to be thankful for. But brethren, it's certainly not just on Thanksgiving. It should be every day of our life. We have so much for which to be thankful. Our physical blessings, the gift of Jesus himself for our sacrifice, for our sins, Christian fellowship that we enjoy, just this bond, this family, this the love that's in this room today is almost, it's almost something you could touch. It's so thick, it's so real, it's so permeable. Salvation from our sins. Our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, brethren, so many blessings. We need to be grateful for every blessing, and we need to really think about them. As the song goes, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So count them. Now, that's the thankful man. I want to talk about the 9 for just a minute, and we'll wrap this up. 9 people that were not thankful. The question Jesus asks, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? The vast majority of people in our world don't really think much about being thankful. We have this picture of a hog under an oak tree, rooting around on the ground, eating the acorns that fall from the tree. We've all heard that little proverb, and he never once looks up to see where those acorns came from. He's just on the ground, just rooting around, eating the acorns as he finds them, and he never once looks up to consider where they came from. And this is the way so many people live, like hogs under an oak tree. That's a pretty vivid picture of people that do not take time to be thankful. We need to express our gratitude. But these nine were so typical of the Jewish nation, particularly during this Passover week. You see, in Matthew 23:27-37, Jesus wept over Jerusalem because it's in Jerusalem that they stoned the prophets and killed those that were sent to them from God. In Acts 2, verse 22 and 23, you men of Israel have by wicked hands slain the Son of God. This is the same group, the same people. In Isaiah 1, verse 2 and 3, this passage is, it's heartrending. It's a heartbreaking passage about the children of Israel. It says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider." What a sad commentary about the condition of the children of Israel, even during Isaiah's day. And by the time Jesus is on the earth, it is much, much worse. And so here they are, this nine people who are so typical of the Jewish nation who rejected Jesus. And even though these men have just been healed by him, their sin of ingratitude reveals something about their hearts. Now, you know, when it comes to the arrogance of the Jews, we're children of Abraham, so we deserve to be healed. It's only fitting that this Samaritan, who does not deserve it, should go back and thank Jesus personally. But we don't have to do that because we're Jews. We are already children of Abraham. We have an inheritance. And so this is just correcting some mistake that God has made. We should never have had leprosy to begin with. This Samaritan deserved it, not us. There's no gratitude. There's almost a sense of deserving to be healed. Brothers and sisters, let me explain something to you. We do not deserve any of God's blessings. We do not deserve his grace or his mercy. We do not deserve his love. We have done nothing to bring God profit. We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty when we do all the good works that we possibly can, when we give ourselves completely to him, when we live our lives in faithful service to him. We're only doing our duty. So we do not deserve anything in response. And yet God is good. And he blesses us and blesses us and blesses us. And we continue to stumble and fumble along. We do our best to try, but so many times we fall short, and yet he still blesses us. And even when we try and fail, he still blesses us because we tried. And so, my friends, this lesson is one that says, even if you have spiritual leprosy, the Lord is ready to heal you. He's ready to cleanse you of your sin. He's ready to bless you. And recognize that you're committing yourself to a life of service to him. And no matter how much you serve him, you're unprofitable. You don't bring him anything that he didn't have already. You're unworthy. And yet, in spite of all this, he still loves us so much that he blesses us even for our feeble, stumbling, fumbling efforts. He blesses us and blesses us and blesses us. So we should be thankful every day for all that God has done. Jesus on trial today, we can see. Thousands deriding ask, "Who is he?" Now they're rejecting him, your Lord and mine. "Hurry, bring in the witnesses." Where are the nine? Where are the nine? Brethren, do not be numbered among the nine. Do not be numbered among the nine who were ungrateful, who did not thank him, who were not appreciative of what God has done for them and what God has done for you. But make sure that you're thankful to God today and every day. Thanksgiving is good. Thanksgiving is better. Live a life of gratitude and thankfulness to God today and every day, and serve him faithfully, and heaven will be your home. If you're not a Christian, you need Jesus so badly. You need him as badly as those lepers did. Come to Jesus so that he can save you. If you believe he's the Son of God, then repent, turn from your sins, confess your faith in him. Allow us to baptize you into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Let the blood of Jesus wash your sins away so that you can be born again of water and the Spirit, a child of God. And having done that, if you've not been faithful to your Lord, if you've been indifferent and negligent and uncaring and uncommitted, come back to him before it's too late. Come to him today. Before you leave here today, make things right with him. Whatever your need, if there's a way we can help you, come as we stand and sing.